Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Columbus.
Good evening, I'm Jacob Reimer. For the first time in 10 days, the Ohio State men's basketball team returns to the hardwood. As they resume Big Ten play tonight, they'll be on the road visiting Rutgers. You can catch the action here on The Fan starting at 7 o'clock with tip-off from the Rack at 8 o'clock. College football, the transfer portal has officially opened. So far, we've seen 12 Ohio State scholarship players enter their name into the portal. Some notable names include running back James Peoples and backup quarterback Lincoln Kienholz. The window to enter the portal closes on January 16th. In NBA tonight, the Cavs go for their third win in a row as they host the Denver Nuggets, who'll be without three-time MVP Nikola Jokic, who is out with a knee injury. Tip-off from Rocket Arena is at 7:30. This one's sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Need help recovering from the holidays? Get a holiday loan from BMI Federal Credit Union. BMIFCU.org/holiday loan. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
Don't let that team stand in the way.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grab Rucker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yeah!
This is the Buckeye Show.
Off and rolling here on a Friday. I am Brandon Beam hanging out with our guy, the Murph Dog, Patrick Murphy Reimer, delivering a fantastic update behind the glass tonight. Patrick, happy Friday to you, my friend. Good to talk to you. Good to see you. It's been a while.
It has. Yeah, it's been, I don't know, with the holidays and everything.
Long time.
Yeah, I was in here with Tim May, who we'll talk to tonight, right?
We will. Yeah. We will talk to Tim May coming up here at 6:30.
But, and then I talked to you last night, but
yes,
I didn't
you did.
See you last night. So, and also, thanks for opening the door since I left my key card here. For
yeah, selfish.
The whole time I was
it was
gone.
A selfish mistake. You called me, you said, hey, can you let me in? And I said, well, I don't know. I might make you wait until 6 o'clock.
And you did.
No, I'm just kidding. No, we let you in. It was fine. We got a great show lined up for you here this evening. We got Buckeye Hoops coming up at 8 o'clock. Our coverage will kick in at 7 o'clock. And then at 7:15, we will take you over to the lovely, the beautiful Piscataway, New Jersey, as Ohio State is playing Rutgers this evening. 8.5-point favorites are the basketball Buckeyes, which is pretty surprising. Rutgers not necessarily what they were over the last couple of years. Steve Peichel trying to get that thing back on track. So we'll see what happens this evening. Reimer just mentioned it. 10 days since you last saw Ohio State play a basketball game. Got to take in a little bit of a break, maybe get healthy. So we'll see what happens for them tonight. Pat, and I know we asked you this question last night. We're going to get into some of the transfer portal talk, some of maybe the offensive coordinator search, the new wide receivers coach here at Ohio State. We'll get into the pulse a little bit later in the hour with things going on across college football. Your biggest takeaways in these last couple of days, now that you've had some time to kind of reset the shot clock on what you saw at the Cotton Bowl, is what? Biggest question, biggest takeaway, you know, biggest thinking point for Ohio State as of right now, the football team at least, is what?
Yeah, I mean, everything I'm going to talk about with this game, I think, starts with the offensive line. But we did that last night, so I will go to something I was thinking about today, which, in a very positive sense, like, this team had, with all the stuff that went wrong in the first half, you were one stop away in the fourth quarter, right?
From you were one offensive drive away.
Yeah,
in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, if you get either of those stops there in the fourth, like, I think with the way the offense was playing there, you feel pretty good about, like, I thought back to when we leave the press box, you can get down to the field, you can go on the field with 5 minutes left on the game clock. Mm-hmm. And leaving the press box, going down the elevator, it was right before Miami took the field. And
they took leads last night against Ole Miss and then blew it. But
yeah, but
we'll talk about that later.
Yes, we will. But I, at that point, going down the elevator, I was like, they're going to win this game. Like, it's going to almost feel like 2002. You know, maybe it goes to overtime, maybe it doesn't, but they're going to win this game when maybe a lot of people thought they weren't going to throughout the contest. So, like, I think that doesn't make anyone feel better, right?
No.
Like, you lost the game, but the sort of panic, and I've been a part of that. Like, I've talked about man, they need to do some things. Like, I would not, there are very few positions on this team that I think are set in stone where you don't at least consider some guys in the transfer portal if the right guys hit it. But I do think that sort of, like you said, kind of having some time to think back and watch some stuff back from the game. It's like, man, after that first half, you were right there and you needed one of those two third down stops. And I think the offense moves down the field and either ties or wins the game. And, you know, now we're talking something very different.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprising thing to me, I think now that we've, you know, are kind of on our second day of reflection after the New Year's Eve, and I'm not going to call it a fiasco, but, you know, Miami won that game flat out. And the biggest thing for me, I'm so surprised by the amount that Ohio State got out-physicaled in that game. We haven't seen this in a while, right? I mean, you won the national championship last year. You can talk about the Michigan game last year for days about, all right, well, the offensive malpractice, what was going on, what was the game plan defensively in that game going back a couple of years. Like, he looked pretty good. Obviously, it was 13-10 was the final score, curse score for Ohio State. But these last couple of games for Ohio State, that being Indiana and then it being Miami in these last games, the line of scrimmage was lost. Just straight up, it was lost. And that surprises me because of the amount of time and effort that you spent saving all of your resources with going slow tempo all year long on offense. If there was going to be one team in college football that was going to be fresher than everybody else and take away the 25 days of, you know, break time that they had, but if there was going to be one team that played less plays offensively than almost any other team in the country, it was Ohio State. And I just go back to Ryan Day's comments. I forget exactly which game it was. Like, you know, when we need to kick it into high gear, we will. The fact that you never really saw that, when you did see it against Miami, it worked. It was really well. You could see Reuben Bain was gassed. And maybe that was their game plan. And then they knew that Miami didn't sub a lot. But the fact that they got out physical in that game for the majority of it, when it really mattered. First half, Miami jumps out to that 14-0 lead. 2-minute drill, you do everything. Jaden Fielding misses a field goal. 14-0 going into half. You come out of half, you score a touchdown. It's 14-7. You're still feeling good. But those last two sequences in the football game where you needed to get a stop and then offensively holding penalty kind of mess things up there a little bit for sure, which, by the way, not going to get into that, kind of was a phantom holding penalty. There were other penalties that you could have called that I thought would have warranted more of a holding call than what Philip Daniels got called for. Regardless, doesn't matter. But it was just the amount of physicality that Miami brought to the table that I thought Ohio State wasn't necessarily lacking. But when it mattered the most, Miami was winning that line of scrimmage, and that surprised me.
Well, I think some of that has to do with that 25-day layoff that you mentioned. And I know there's been a lot of discourse. I wrote about it today about whether or not this first-round bye thing is real. Obviously, last year, there was teams that probably didn't deserve the first-round byes.
Indiana just continues to shatter expectations.
But even Indiana, if you think about it, so first drive, they get sacked twice. They gave up 12 sacks all year. Two sacks there. The line just isn't moving. Then they get two turnovers in good field position. That flips the game. Like, they didn't start out great either.
No.
And I think, you know, really everybody kind of started slow. Like, Georgia was down 6-0. But from an Ohio State perspective, like, that Miami team was ready to go. And I think it was similar to what Ohio State came out against Oregon and punched Oregon in the mouth a year ago. Like, you get some momentum from playing that first game. And that's why I think this is just an odd way to go about having a postseason. But to your point about just the physicality, because that's something you can bring right from the start, we're gonna play with
that's attitude and effort, right? Yes. Like, every coach will tell you that the two things that your players can control, that you can control, like, you can't control the uncontrollables, but you can control your attitude and effort. And I thought Miami just straight up, they punched you right, they kicked you in the teeth from play number one.
Yeah. And it you know, some of it, I think, is just maybe we were not critical enough of this offensive line throughout the year. And I think, you know, we talked about Tegra a lot, but Luke Montgomery was supposed to be maybe the right tackle, or excuse me, Austin Saravelle was supposed to be maybe the right tackle, but he was a guard, but you're having to play him at left tackle because you mismanaged the guy he got out of the transfer portal that was supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. Obviously,
and
the
then Tegra, he goes down.
Yeah, and then the Tegra situation. Now you're playing Gabe Van Sickle. I know everyone was excited about him. pretty limited snaps that he'd had before that game. Mm-hmm. And you saw pretty quickly the moment was pretty big. Not to say that Gabe Van Sickle can't become a really good player. Same with Ian Moore.
That's a tough spot to be thrown into, man.
Huge. And then in the second half, you put Ian Moore in there. And there's kind of this same little buzz about Ian Moore. And I've cautioned a few people, like, you know, they were going a little bit faster. They were doing some things differently in the second half.
Like I said, when they did it, it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the biggest thing, too, is just the lack of anything to change it up when it wasn't working. Like, if you want to come out and be like, hey, we're going to stick with what got us here. But if that doesn't work, you know, the one play where I felt like they did that throw to Carnell Tate, where he lines up in the backfield behind C.J. Donaldson, they fake the handoff to C.J. Donaldson, and then they throw sort of a bubble screen.
Way, yeah.
Yeah, and like it was like, oh, okay, they're starting to pull some stuff out of a hat to get back in this. And then they didn't. You know, you do have, you know, a couple good plays to Jeremiah Smith, the deep pass, the touchdown on fourth down.
He had a terrific game minus the missed block on the Keyonte Scott's pick six.
Yeah, and so, look, I think ultimately this team needs to make sure it figures out its offensive line. Whether you believe in these guys to come back and get better, or you feel like you need to go out and get somebody. And I think you need an experienced offensive coordinator to come in, and not to take over and like change this offense, but to run it and add some new ideas like Chip Kelly did a year ago.
Yeah. T formation. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
More T formation.
You know, just mixing things up. Like, I don't think you need to be so methodical throughout the season. Like, you don't need to be the fastest playing team in the world.
I think there's points in time where you can say, oh, we're better than this team. We don't need to go tempo. We can kill the game off. Yeah. We can save plays. And that is fine. But if you want to work on something and you know you're going to need it at some point of the season. So I think the biggest thing, going back from last year's team to this year's team, and again, this is it's a different team, it's different coaches, it's all very different, right? And I know we had just talked about, you know, Ohio State got the bye this year, Ohio State didn't get the bye last year. That first game against Tennessee last year, when Ohio State was doing the same thing methodically in the regular season, the first couple of drives in that Tennessee game, whoosh, mm-hmm. like down the field, boom, 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 yeah. Same thing in the Oregon game, right? Like, Texas game was a little bit different. Notre Dame game was a little bit different. But those first two games last year, it was an entirely different tempo and panic that you saw out of this team than what it was last year. And I don't know what to attribute that to. I don't. I'm not exactly sure, you know. And again, it's not, I'm not trying to pinpoint blame or anything, mm-hmm. but it was just a different set of circumstances that you were facing this year.
Yeah, and I think to that point, you didn't have an Emeka Egbuka. Brandon Innes never became that player, and they were never the same player.
No.
You didn't have the two running backs. Like, even Bo Jackson getting going in this, you know, once he became the starter, he was never at the elite level that Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. I think he can get there. Like, I think you saw signs, but he's a freshman.
Hard to do.
Yeah, right. He's a freshman, and I think the offensive line play just wasn't as good. And then, you know, you want to talk about Arvell Reese maybe not playing as well in the second half of the season. Like, little things. There's,
I think he
little
was deployed to do different things.
He definitely
than
what
he was in the first half.
He definitely was. And teams put more attention on him. But my thinking, and when we talked to Matt Patricia about this before the game, was, okay, this is the time when you got to get him going. And I mean, he had seven tackles, but it didn't feel like he was super impactful in that game, which he needed.
The Buckeyes are up to double-digit players in the transfer portal. We're going to talk about some portal combat coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
They didn't have...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
For cancer, set sail on the Silver Sea Silver Ray. It's an intimate ship with an even better experience. It's all-inclusive of beverages, shore excursions, taxes, and gratuities. Sail to bucket list ports like the Grand Turk, St. Martin, and St. Thomas. With Buckeye greats including Ryan Day, Bobby Carpenter, A.J. Hawk, the Boren Brothers, Ezekiel Elliott, Ryan Shazier, and more. Sailing from Fort Lauderdale, February 17th through the 24th. Call 614-792-6204 to book today.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Experience Buckeye Game Day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
You get up early on snow days because snowed in is not an option. The Kubota snow lineup of compact tractors, RTVs, and versatile attachments are built to thrive in the winter. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available or save up to $6,000. Now through December 31st, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Find your local Kubota dealer at BuckeyeKubotaDealers.com.
Buckeye fans, this is for you. Level up with the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. You'll receive all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Ohio State sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off select gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeyes MVP membership for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to upgrade or join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, getting ahead in this world is not as complicated as it might seem. Having the early guidance and counsel of your community banker, one who knows you and your family's story, can make a great deal of difference. Relationships matter. Bank on community banking. I'm Scott McComb. Coming over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Rare banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Rothman and Ice.
I feel like this is part of how GMs think. I think this way in fantasy. I imagine in reality it works somewhat similar.
Rothman and Ice, weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies are expected here for your Friday, with temperatures around 30 degrees here for this afternoon. Winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And then for the weekend, we are looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine, with more clouds on Saturday. Highs around 30 degrees here for Saturday and Sunday. But then we are looking ahead to a warm-up here for next week, with highs back in the 40s and 50s. But with that warm-up will come a chance for rain here by Tuesday and Wednesday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
4 out of 5 dentists recommend this show. The other dentist is a Michigan fan. Yuck. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Coming up here at 6:30, the great Tim May. He's going to join the program. He will digress us. Is Tim still in Texas? Is he back here in Ohio? Where in the world is he when you last checked in with him?
I believe he is now back.
Okay.
But he did stay a little extra time. I don't know why.
I think he said he wanted to watch the games. Just stay down there and sit and watch the games all day long.
Yeah, he had a buddy down there, Jeff Snook.
He's got a buddy at all.
Well, that's true. But Jeff Snook, who I used to work sort of with when I was at the Ozone, he did some stuff there. And he's done a lot of college football, Ohio State stuff. Wrote the, I believe it was the biography.
I was going to say, it can't be an autobiography.
Well, he could ghostwrite it.
Yeah, I guess.
With, what's his name? The old Virginia Tech coach.
Frank Beamer.
Yeah. So
Shane's papa.
Yes. But yeah, it was good to see Jeff while I was down there. But yeah, I don't know what Tim's doing. But he did, the last that I actually saw of him in the media hospitality suite late Wednesday night, Thursday morning, he said, "If you need me on the radio on Friday, give me a call."
It's funny because I texted you. I'm like, "Anybody you want to do beers and Buckeyes with?" He said, "Well, Tim May offered on Wednesday."
Yeah.
I said, "All right, well, I have Tim's number. I'll text him."
Tim, not a beers guy.
No.
So, not anymore anyway.
No, he's not. He's going to join us coming up here at 6:30. Thanks everybody for hanging out with us this evening. You can always watch the show on YouTube. You can listen wherever you get your podcast from if you miss anything. Thanks to the chat tonight. Always love interacting with the YouTube chat. So pop on there. Watch all of our shows live and local almost every single day for like 14 hours. When we can, if we don't get shortened by either basketball or Blue Jackets. 14 hours right. of live coverage for you every single day. Patrick, I know I asked you this question last night around 7:30, so 23 hours ago. What do you think about the Buckeye transfer portal entries as of now? Because James Peoples entered the portal today. Nick McLarty, our 6'7" Australian punter, unfortunately, entered the portal. Jackson Corville entered the portal. And if you don't know Jackson Corville's story, he was actually a kicker who came over from Ball State. Didn't use him at all in the regular season this year.
He kicked a couple extra points.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. It was
I must have missed Paul saying Jackson Corville.
I think it was late in the Grambling game, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
He made him.
Good job. Maybe he should have gone in at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, I think there's a real argument to be made he probably should have gone in before the season started. And it's not a slight on Jaden Fielding. It just, look, big kicks have not been his thing. Like, got to have him kicks. Except, I guess you could argue, the national championship game.
He made that.
That turned that 8-point lead into an 11-point lead and pretty much sealed it.
Oregon last year, not great. Michigan last year, not great.
Right.
And Indiana. Fantastic.
So
a couple of days ago, not great.
Now he did compete with Jackson Corville before the season. He won the job based on what we were told.
Yeah, listen, man, I'm not going to sit here and like poo-poo kickers. Like,
yeah, no,
it's such a weird thing. Kickers. I mean, if anybody has played special teams ever in their life, like, and you see it like in the NFL, right? I mean, all these guys are good from now 50 and inside, and everyone in that game last night, other than Georgia's kicker missing a field goal, like the Ole Miss kicker who they brought in from Western Kentucky. But I will say this on the special teams front, it has not been great. Like it's been better than what it's been in the past, but it still has not been up to the standard of which you hold the rest of the Ohio State units. The last couple of years.
Isn't it kind of wild though, after you see him miss the 50 yarder during the game? Miami's kicker made a 50-yarder. Oregon's kicker had made a 50-yarder. Ole Miss's kicker last night, like you just mentioned, he was drilling like 56-yarders.
That's like the Mendoza line now. Like, you've got to be good from inside 50 if you want to do anything as a kicker. Just have to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, you've got to be.
I want to correct myself. Jackson Corville made 4 extra points against Grambling.
All right. Now he's in the portal. So.
Yes. I mean, we could have a whole special teams conversation. Like, I've said it probably all this season. Like Ryan Day has said, that has to be a weapon. It has not been a weapon. That is something he said and not backed up. And
it is not weaponized. No. Special teams. It is not.
I know you had the kick return this year. That should happen more often. Your punting is not great, though. The one punt they did get right, unfortunately, they had a penalty on and lost 20 yards on a field position on that. But it just, look, I know Ryan Day can't come out and say, like, no, we don't really care about special teams. We think we're too good offensively and too good defensively. But actions speaking louder than words here. Mm-hmm. You didn't go get a kicker last offseason that you thought could come in and immediately start over Jaden Fielding. You didn't go get a punter that you trusted to do that. And now you're forced to do it. Well, I guess Joe McGuire will be back. But I think you've got to do something, certainly in the kicker, because you don't have one on the roster now, at least a scholarship guy.
It's just so funny. I mean, you go back to the way that Jim Tressel played football.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the difference in winning so many games during the Jim Tressel era. And now I feel like every time Ohio State loses a game, and it has not been a lot during the Ryan Day tenure, right? Like, there has not been a lot of losses, but we can remember all of them, and there has been a special teams mishap. It seems almost at every single one of those losses. Every single one, Patrick.
Yep. And I think that it is time. Look, I get you have X amount of resource, especially in an NIL era.
Yeah.
Not that kickers and punters, I don't think. I don't know this, I guess.
I saw so many people on Twitter last night, like, whatever that Ole Miss kicker's making, right. Like, pay the best kicker in the country double. Like, $4 million to a kicker.
people saying back the Brinks trucks up to the Illinois kicker that's in the portal.
Right. For sure.
Sarah jotted down his name for fantasy football in the future.
Did she?
But... Yeah, look, I think you got to do something. Like, you can't just have this be a huge weakness for your team. But to go back to your initial question, like James Peoples, I know he wasn't great this year, had a couple big plays, you know, the hurdle against UCLA. That's a guy I was a little surprised. Like, it makes sense. He wasn't playing a ton. But you look at next year, you obviously have Bo Jackson back.
CJ Donaldson's gone.
He's gone. Isaiah West had kind of roller coastered. He had a moment. And
him
then,
and James Peoples kind of passed each other like a ship in the night,
yeah,
a little bit towards the end of the season.
Yeah, and then they both weren't used much, in the two postseason games. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe there was, and because of the way James Peoples had talked about Ohio State and stuff, I thought maybe there was a chance it was like, okay, run it back next year, see if you can get to the point, because he's a different running back than Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
And like maybe he then competes to be that, you know, second guy, so to speak. I think he'll be successful somewhere. I just, for one reason or another, it did not work out this season the way people expect it to.
Yeah, and I remember going back to the preseason. You and I were talking about in fall camp, and I think a lot of people like scoffed at you maybe when you talked about the running backs room being low on your list. I remember you put out a list. You ranked all 11 units for Ohio State. I believe there are 11 of them. And you had the running backs room pretty low on that list. And I think now going back and kind of compartmentalizing this season, Bo Jackson, great, terrific. Like, I think he's going to be an awesome running back. I think he was terrific in moments this year. Like, you're excited to have him back, but the way that Ryan Day wants to run this offense, the way that you ultimately want to go now in college football, especially if you're going to go with this tempo situation, you need at least two guys that you can trust in game-winning, game-tying, like game-managing situations. And so, to your point, like Isaiah West coming back, I think is going to be big for this team. But you know that you're going to have to get other guys in that running back room. You need a stable of backs. We've seen what happens in college football, NFL injuries. Like, it can happen like that in that running back room.
Right. And I think Bo Jackson, you know, just over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. I said earlier, I don't think there's many positions that are safe. Like, if a stud running back wants to come to Ohio, if a Quinshon Judkins is in the portal and is interested in Ohio State, I'm not saying no just because of what Bo Jackson did this year. Now, sure, you know, he didn't really get going until a few games in, so those numbers could be better. But as good as he was, and it, again, freshman season, like, this wasn't Travion Henderson or Maurice Clarett their freshman year. Like, if we're talking about, hey,
J.K. Dobbins,
yes,
season,
exactly.
Right?
If we're talking about we need a guy that can, you know, help us win a national championship, we know can help us win a national championship. Bo Jackson, sophomore, you hope can do that. But if there's a guy out there that makes sense, I'm not turning it down because of Bo Jackson or Isaiah West.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of positions on this Ohio State team right now with guys entering the portal. I think it'll be more active than what it was last year. I'll just say that.
Yeah, and I think they did at least we thought they did a good job of filling some holes last year. And that's what it'll be like. And the holes may look like Quinshon Judkins. Cause when that happened, remember everyone was like, well, that's weird. Like, is Travion definitely gone? Cause we didn't know yet, but the leaning was, okay, we think Travion's going to come back. But it turned out like, hey, we're going to have the best running back room in America. And like, that should be the mentality for Ohio State. Now, I don't think you need to become Ole Miss or some of these transfer portal schools that rely on that. Like, and Ryan Day won't, but go find what makes you the best in the country.
Tim May, he's going to join us to recap what has been a very busy week for the Buckeyes coming up here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show.
100 years, Shriners Children's has become family to over 1.5 million kids.
In tough times and good times, they're there when we need them most.
Please go online right now to loveshriners.org.
Go behind the scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add on your choice of a sub, salad, wings, a 10-inch pizza, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donato's.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donato's. gotta love more.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Drink up, Slappy. It's time for Beers and Buckeyes with Patrick Murphy.
Filling in for Patrick Murphy tonight, since he is just sitting to the right of me. We head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline and check in with the legendary Tim May. Tim, how was it visiting your home state? Did you get over to Lufkin at all when you were down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
No, I went down yesterday and got to watch the Alabama, such as it was, Alabama-Indiana game with my baby brother, who's 68, just turned 68, and I got to meet a grandniece of mine for the first time. She was 10 months old.
Wow.
That's in LaGrange. I don't know if you know where J.K. Dobbins was from. It's like halfway between.
I've heard a song about LaGrange before. I believe ZZ Top.
Yeah, it was based on that, baby. It was based on that. But yeah, it was a good time. I mean, made a quick trip down there and quick trip back because I came back today. And, of course, you know, all of us in the media, you can ask Patrick, we were all very much looking forward to Ohio State winning.
Yes.
Because, yeah, we'd be covering another big game, but mainly we'd be making plans to go to the Scottsdale Camelback for 4 or 5 days, which is maybe the best place for the media in the country when it comes to these kind of games. And they really take care of you. Not that the Cotton Bowl didn't take care of us, but it's a different kind of, you wake up in the morning and maybe an orange hanging on a tree right next to your room, and you got mountains everywhere, Camelback Mountain and stuff. But you know, a man can dream, can't he?
Yes, he can. You said that you were back, so you are confirming that you are not currently in the transfer portal. Is that a correct assessment?
I am not in the transfer portal. I haven't checked on Patrick yet, but you know, I don't think there've been any surprises in the portal unless it's happened in the last several hours when I was on my way home. But you know, you expected Lincoln Kinos to move on, right? I mean, you got to get a chance to play somewhere. And James Peoples is no big surprise. I guess he got a good shot, mm-hmm. and just maybe didn't quite live up to what they thought he would be. And then all of a sudden a freshman steps up and you're going, oh my goodness, who's this Bo Jackson guy? Not that we were that surprised. And number two, what a name, right? But I was always kind of in the People's Choice corner, but life moves on and life moves at you fast. I guess he did set up a didn't he set up an Ohio State touchdown drive with that return to the 19-yard line the other night?
Technically.
I was trying to be facetious there.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, you're good. When you look back at the game and obviously Ohio State not getting the job done, what is like the one or two things that stood out to you the most that were the difference between Ohio State and Miami, and maybe how surprised were you in those things?
Well, you know this, Patrick, the play of the game was the pick six, because
yep.
Now that just puts you in a deep hole. And, you know, I've never been a fan of the wide screen. I've never understood why more people don't jump it, you know, and then it looked like maybe Jeremiah Smith sort of whiffed on any kind of block there. And the guy just, when you catch it in full stride going the other direction, you aren't going to catch him. But suddenly you're 14-0 down. And then you miss the field goal. Like, you get something really going, you miss a field goal near the end of the first half, you get nothing going into halftime. But then they come back and cut it to 17-14. I mean, they're in the game right there. And bottom line is, they couldn't, the number one defense in the country couldn't get off the field on that last touchdown drive by Miami. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. So, you know, it's, as I said, I don't know if it's already run yet or if it's going to run maybe Sunday on Wall-to-Wall Sports. I said, bottom line is, Ohio State wasn't good enough in its last two games. And, yeah, you can point at a holding call, a hold that should have been called here, or, you know, stuff there, but you know, a lot of those things do kind of even out. But the bottom line is, they just weren't good enough in the final analysis. A team that went undefeated in the regular season lost its last two games. That's going to be tough for them to maybe I don't know, swallow as the years roll slowly by.
He is Tim May with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I started the show tonight. Tim, Pat, and I were kind of talking about it. It's not necessarily that Miami beat you. I think it was the way that Miami out-physicaled you in that ball game that I was the most surprised about, given the 25-day break, given Ryan Day saying we can hit the gas pedal, you know, at some point in the season. You just kind of, it never really happened. And from play number one, it seemed like Miami's defensive front were doing whatever they needed to in crunch time against the Ohio State offensive line, pushing them around.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, see, I got the big argument on my latest podcast with my buddy Jeff Snooks. I mean, you know, that's what podcasts are for, is to argue. But Ohio State had two very nice touchdown drives.
Very good.
Half.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it wasn't all night. You know, this wasn't an all-night affair. But it just seemed like, you know, what turned out to be the critical moments of the game, Reuben Bain and his gang, as I like to say. I mean, Akeem, ever how you pronounce his name.
Mezador.
Guys, yes. Oh, my goodness.
Anador.
Ask Julian. We'll see if Julian saying that has him on his Christmas card list. I doubt it. I mean, but they just seem to make a play at exactly the right time, you know, for their defensive front. I mean, Reuben Bain was backing off like, sometimes looked like 6-7 yards and just picking a run at Phillip Daniels and sort of a Toro the Bull kind of deal. You know, if you kind of feign this way, I'm going to go that way and stuff. He didn't always make the sack, but he was almost always affecting plays. And Julian Sain, bless his heart, was having to move around and make passes, you know, not from the regular launching pad a lot of the time. And then, you know, they had a huge play, right? They did answer Miami early. I mean, you know, with the deep ball to Jeremiah Smith, which maybe had been thrown a little bit more out in front of him, might have been a touchdown. But bottom line is, next, what, two plays later, pick six.
Yep.
So, Ohio State was in the game, and it was 17-14 in the fourth quarter. So, you know, they just couldn't make the plays at the end to get it done. And that's it in a nutshell. But, yeah, it just seemed like Miami was just which just made that play when they needed it. And that's all these games are about. Just ask Ole Miss and Georgia today. You know, what a crazy game that was. But it always comes down to making plays because, guys, the talent's going to be pretty even when you get to the quarterfinals of any kind of national tournament, with the exception of Indiana and Alabama. I don't know. Alabama, man, my baby brother, who's 68, as I keep saying, he didn't start crying yesterday. He kind of like said, yeah, man, we got a ways to go in the DeBoer era.
Yeah, that was pretty apparent, even watching it while on a plane yesterday. Speaking of those other games.
How about Fernando Mendoza definitely showing everybody why he deserved the Heisman Trophy, too.
We listened to his post-game press conference on the show last night, Tim. Or not press conference, but just his interview that he did on the field after the Rose Bowl game. Like, I can't get enough. Like, it's must-see TV whenever that guy is in front of a microphone right now.
I know. I told Patrick when you were taking all that PTO and me and him at the show last week, I told Patrick it's like he's reading a teleprompter in his brain when he talks. It is the coolest thing. I mean, you know, I thought his Heisman acceptance speech was great. I thought after the game yesterday, he was great. It's like, you know, some guys just get up here and say, thanks, Mom, thanks, Dad, and they sit down, you know, with their trophy or whatever.
This guy used the word conglomerate correctly.
Correct.
After winning the Rose Bowl.
Correct. I mean, are you kidding me? So, yes, I mean, as I tweeted after the Heisman, I think he could, we might see this guy end up running for president a couple of decades from now. But yeah, I'm very impressed by them. I think they proved they're the best team in the country, but it was against Alabama, you know? Isn't it amazing that their gauntlet could have included having to beat Oregon again and having to beat Ohio State again? But, of course, that has been blown asunder now.
Speaking of these other games, what stood out to you maybe as a general you know, talking point from the full quarterfinal slate?
That I thought Texas Tech was better, would be better offensively, but then that's discounting how good Oregon was on defense. Oregon just put a stranglehold on them. It was pretty impressive. And then Alabama just, I saw Alabama play South Carolina. That's why they barely escaped that game. And I've been saying all along, everybody was about Miami shouldn't be in. And Notre Dame instead of Notre Dame. And I'm just going, no, Notre Dame should have been in instead of Alabama. I've been saying that forever. But that was borne out. I know Alabama beat Oklahoma, but Oklahoma was no, was not one of the top teams in the country. I'm trying to think of something clever to say there, and I didn't come up with it. But I think everybody should sit back and go, Southeastern Conference, four or five teams. Are you kidding me? That day is gone. I mean, there are a lot of teams that can play out there, and quite a few of them are in the Big Ten.
Absolutely they are, and it's a great possibility that the Big Ten is going to have three national champions in a row. Tim, before we get you out of here, any other pressing things on your mind about the Buckeyes, and what are your thoughts about the wide receiver coach being hired, Cortez, and then I guess still this search for an offensive coordinator that Ryan Day is still undergoing?
Yeah, I'm just curious on how he's going to balance all that out, because he's got his complement of coaches at this point, right? So we'll see what gets shuffled in that deck. But a lot of us are thinking, just the way he talks about Keenan Bailey all the time, we might see something interesting in that respect. You know, I kind of agree with my buddy Jeff Snook. I'm not sure you don't need to go find an older guy again, like Chip Kelly last year. Now, it was a combination of Chip Kelly showing up and Quinshon Judkins and Trevion Henderson blossoming. But the running game, there was no question about Ohio State's run game, especially in the playoffs last year. I think there's still a question about getting that straightened out again, like you talked about. You know, when you figure Austin Cyrville went out of that game early with that ankle situation in the right guard situation, we saw that flip during the game. Gabe Van Sickle giving way to Josh Padilla. I thought Padilla in there at the start of the second half gave him some really good things on those two drives where they got touchdowns. But the tea leaves aren't really pointing to where I thought they would be at this point. I thought he would go offensive coordinator wise hiring, and then maybe move Keenan Bailey to tight ends and let Devin Jordan sort of run the wide receiver room. You know what I mean? I mean, there are all kinds of ways he can go now, but who knows? He may have some other shakeups in mind.
Tim, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us. Glad you had a great trip down to Texas, that you got home to your family. Wishing you, the family, your grandkids, all the best wishes in 2026, and we will check in again soon, all right?
Get this, by the way, my 7-year-old grandson, who just turned 7 today, he wanted to eat at this. We're at AAB.
Yeah, Indian. AAB. Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Yeah, AAB. But anyway, this and it was his choice. So I don't know what's going on in that family.
Tim, always appreciate it. Have a great night.
See you, fellas.
There he goes. Tim May with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I will say this. They pay me nothing to say this. I get carry out from there all the time after the show is done and we take it home. It's really close to you.
It is. I think Tim May's grandson there is a Manchester City fan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, never mind. Yeah. Not happy birthday to him. We got a world-class contract negotiator remaining in the college football playoff. We'll do that in the polls coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Always still.
More ways to save at Kroger, like low prices in every aisle. And when you download the Kroger app, you can clip and save more with digital coupons every week. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. At Kroger, you can enjoy more ways to save and more rewards every time you shop. So it's always easy to save big every day with savings and rewards. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizza, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Modern Office Methods, your authorized RICO dealer, can help your business optimize your print production with a competitive advantage. Our digital printing options will expand the type of paper and substrates from what your business can print on today. Add variable data capability, which allows for personalization of catalogs and mailers, and the ability for short-run label printing, which allows your business to print high volumes of custom labels quickly and on demand. Want to learn more? Start with a print assessment at momnet.com. Why risk it? You can count on Mom.
There's one medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear.
Common Man and Timmy.
Would you like it a pepper?
You want fresh pepper?
Oh, thank you, Pepper Boy.
Why, thank you. That's the perfect amount of pepper.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan. It's sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. It's time for the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Coming up here at the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Buckeye Hoops. We've got the warm-up show, 7:15. We'll take you out to Piscataway for Ohio State. We'll play Rutgers tonight over at the Rack. Patrick, are you excited about Ohio State's possibility of winning a Big Ten game tonight at the Rack? It hasn't been the friendliest place to Ohio State. It is a weird place to go and play. Steve Peichel and the gang struggling this year. But again, winning on the Big Ten is hard in the road, especially in the months of January and February. But the road starts now for this Buckeye basketball team.
Yeah, this is a big opportunity for them, as you mentioned, just to, you know, kind of get off to a good start. I know they've played a couple Big Ten games already and went 1-1, but this is like when it really feels like Big Ten season, right? And look, last year at this time, in the middle of the College Football Playoff run, like it was hard to focus on Buckeye basketball, and now you hope that they can, you know, for fans' sake, for our sake, covering it, like get on a little bit of a run here and, you know, get some positive momentum going. So it's something people want to tune into, right? And something we want to cover and all that. It would be nice if they could have a nice January for a change and build some excitement.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right. What are you talking about there?
But the, now you've thrown me off.
I don't know. Sorry.
But yes, no, they should, it would be great to get off to a good start, take advantage of a down Rutgers team. That'd be 2-0 on the road in the Big Ten.
Yes, it
would.
Which
is a good place to start.
And they host Nebraska on Monday. Nebraska ball.
That's a big one.
Which we'll save that, Reimer. I know that you're a big fan of Nebraska ball. We'll save that for the warm-up show. That's coming up a little bit later. Reimer, what do you got for us tonight in the College Football Pulse, buddy?
Well, we have some interesting contract stuff going on with one Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah.
So this is from Front Office Sports on Twitter. Indiana's Rose Bowl win has triggered a contract review for Kurt Cignetti. By making the CFP semifinals, Cignetti is owed a good faith market review of his $11.6 million deal. If Indiana doesn't offer a top three salary, he could leave without a buyout per the team sheet reviewed by Front Office Sports.
That is an awesome contract. I know that Kurt Cignetti's agent was the one that put that together. But that is terrific. And I was talking to our great friend Michael Bennett last night about this. He came over. We watched the Ole Miss Georgia game together. And he was like, dude, what? I mean, if NFL's teams start calling, if big programs start calling about Cignetti, like what keeps him at Indiana? Literally, as we were having this conversation, I saw this on Twitter. I'm like, well, this keeps him at Indiana, right? And there was someone in the YouTube chat talking a little bit earlier. Thanks again for everybody for popping in there tonight. Always appreciate you watching and listening to the programs. Like, is Indiana the big dog now in the Big Ten? Yeah, I mean, of course. I would think. Like, you're undefeated. They're the only team who has won a college football playoff game that has a bye in the last 2 years. They're beating everybody, just bludgeoning people. And you beat Alabama 38-3. It's the third time that Alabama has lost by 35-plus points in like the last 50 years. Like, no one does it. And Indiana football was the one to do it. How do you keep them at Indiana? A good faith market review that automatically makes him a top three highest paid coach in college football. That's how you keep Kurt Cignetti at Indiana. Indiana's all into it. Cignetti's all into it. That's a great job on that moving contract scale. That's a good job by everybody all around there in Bloomington.
Yeah, I mean, look, you found something special here in Indiana, and I think that you've got to do what you can to keep it as long as possible.
100%.
I had someone ask me recently, if Ryan Day were to leave for, you know, whatever reason for Ohio State, is the first call Ohio State makes to Kurt Cignetti?
Yes.
And I was like, at first I was like, well, and then I thought about it, and I was just like, I can't think of anyone else. Like, it would be a very different program. But I think you accept that because of what he's proven he can do with less resources than you would have here at Ohio State.
That guy, I mean, he's terrific. I like him a lot. Like what he said about Alabama, and he was asked this, I think, a couple of days before the Rose Bowl against Alabama. Like, hey, how do you play this mystique of Alabama knowing their history? And his answers to questions are just so cold-blooded. Where he looks at the reporters like, well, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the mystique because our guys just know Alabama from watching film. And like that's all he said, and then you go out and just embarrass them at the Rose Bowl, which was great television.
How about the bar he dropped last night? It'll make a great movie.
Yeah.
Well, and even before that, on the field, he was asked about upsetting a program like Alabama, and he's like, why can't we do that? Because our name's Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like he has he doesn't care the tradition.
No,
and it's what I thought about this last night. It's like you took over Indiana in the video game like 5 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was
one of the worst teams in college football history.
And you turn them in because, you know, in the video game, you can turn teams, especially the older video games, you could turn teams around real quick, right?
Done it before many a time.
Yeah, I took over. I won 3 national championships with Indiana football once upon a time.
But anyway, we should put you on staff.
I know. But yeah, I mean, that's what this is. Like he has made this a real life video game story, which in today's college football is wild.
It's one of the greatest coaching jobs we've ever seen in college football.
I saw Shefty tweet out last night that Indiana is number one in football and Michigan is number one in basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise that he mentioned Michigan.
Well,
it's not surprising
and
at all.
They're not technically number one.
And also, they're a 22.5-point favorite against USC
tonight.
It's
absurd. It's absurd.
That game's going off in 5 minutes.
Top 25 matchup.
Yeah. A good top 25 matchup.
Yes.
And you're almost a quarter-century favorite in that game, which is hard to believe. What were your biggest takeaways from the game last night in the Sugar Bowl? Because I thought it was one of the best college football games of the year. It was terrific theater.
Those two quarterbacks were on something different, man.
Gunnar Stockton, I've never seen a quarterback get harder in my life. And then just pop back up. And the fact that they ran Gunnar Stockton on the very next play, and he scored a touchdown after almost just getting decapitated on the football field. That hit happened in live time, and I'm a dramatic football watcher. Like, when someone gets hit like that, I'm like, oh, God, he's never going to walk again. You know, like, I'm one of those guys. Like, I overreact to a lot of things on the football field. And then the very next play, it was a QB sneak, right? Or a QB draw. And they just run him. I'm like, that is a tough son of a gun.
After that. He looked like he was struggling
to
breathe.
He got his head almost knocked off his shoulders. I mean, I thought it was a terrific game. But it was an atrocity the last 5 seconds of that football game.
Absolute
atrocity.
Yeah, so Sarah gets up to go to bed. Like, she went upstairs, brushed her teeth.
Game was over.
I go upstairs, and she was like, what were you doing? And I was like, the game wasn't done. She's like, what? And I, like, walk her through everything that happened. She was like, why didn't you say anything? I was like, I assumed you just turned it on up here. And she was like, no. She's like, so they did, like, Ole Miss won. I was like, yeah. They ended up, like, it ended up being pointless to have all that happen.
They put it out the stage and had confetti drop and everything.
Sean McDonough. Shout out to Sean McDonough, too, by the way. He narrated that game perfectly at the last, like, 10 minutes of real time that it took. And in my mind, I'm like, if this were to happen to Ohio State in this situation where Ohio State was Ole Miss, like, Paul and Jim would have been must-hear radio if that situation was going on for them. Patrick, I had a great time with you tonight. We'll talk to you next week. And I may just talk to you here in the warm-up show in like 5 minutes, all right?
All right, sounds good.
Everybody have an awesome Friday night. We're up next with some Buckeye basketball coverage. Talk to you soon. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.